There are occasions when we say to each other that I will do this or I will do that. And most of us, when we say something like that, we really mean to do it. I don't think there's anybody in the room this morning that would say, hey, I will do this for you, with the knowledge up front that you're not going to do it. I don't think anybody would say that, make it up, lie, however you want to say it. I think every person that says, hey, I will do that for you, has the intent to do it. But there's sometimes when we do not do what we promise that we will. Sometimes circumstances come up and prevent us from keeping that promise. Sometimes we get a touch of Alzheimer's and we forget what we promised and don't keep it. And other times we make a promise and we just don't have the ability to keep that promise. But this morning and tonight, I want to talk to you about some I wills that you can count on. I want to talk to you about some I wills that you can take to the bank. I want to talk to you about some I wills that you can depend on 100%, you can depend on completely. Circumstances won't get in the way, Alzheimer's won't get in the way, and an inability to do it will not get in the way. This morning and tonight, I'm going to speak on Christ's I wills. The times that Jesus said in the Bible, and we're not going to look at all of them, but I've picked out eight of them, where Jesus said that he will do something. And we'll look at four of them this morning and four of them tonight. And before I start, and I'll say this again tonight, when Jesus says, I will, he will. When Jesus promises to do something, he will do it. I do not find one instance in the Bible. I have never found one instance in my life, my own personal experience, and I've never found one instance in the experience of others that I've known and been around where Jesus said, I will, and he hasn't done it. Not one time. He's kept every promise. And when he says, I will, he will. And so this morning I want to look at four of them. The first one comes from where we read a moment ago in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, where the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That invitation applies to every single person. Every single person needs to hear that invitation from Jesus Christ, and every single person needs to respond to that invitation. It's an invitation that Jesus makes to every person. He leaves nobody out. And it's an invitation that many here this morning have already responded to. And if I gave them an opportunity, everybody that's already responded to this invitation will stand and they will testify, Jesus did exactly what he said he'd do. I came to him and he gave me rest. Now, you might say, hey, preacher, that verse doesn't apply to me. That verse says, all ye that are heavy laden. I do not have a heavy laden. I do not have a burden. I am not laboring like that verse talks about. And so that invitation, that promise from Christ that he will give rest does not apply to me. You may not realize it, but you are carrying a burden this morning. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you are carrying a burden, and that burden is a sin burden. That burden is a burden of being under the condemnation of the penalty of sin, separation from God, spiritual death. Jesus said, you come to me, I'll take that burden away. You come to me, I'll take it off of you. You come to me, I will give you rest. And when he says it, when he promises that he will do it, he will do it. You know what our problem is? Our problem is, even if we realize we have that burden, we said, I can take care of it myself. I don't need to come to Jesus. I can get rid of this sin burden myself. First person in the Bible that said that was Cain. God invited them to come with a blood sacrifice in the Old Testament. That was the Old Covenant. And Cain said, I got a better idea. I'm a farmer. I grow stuff. I'll bring some of my produce. I'll bring some of my crops. That will be just as pleasing to God as a blood sacrifice. And God rejected Cain's offering. He said, you didn't come the way I wanted you to come. You didn't come the way I told you to come. And we do the same thing today. Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll lift your sin burden. I'll take care of the penalty that you owe for sin. And we say, I got a better idea. I'll get baptized. Or I'll join the church. Or I'll tithe. All those are good things. I think you ought to do all three of them. But not one of those things will lift the sin burden. Not one of those things will make you right with God. We say, well, I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll be a good neighbor. I'll be kind to every person I meet. I'll live a good life. And all those things are labor. They're labor. They're labor. They're labor. And they won't do any good. I got news for you. The I'll do something system doesn't work. The I'll do some religion, or I'll do some, the I do religion, or the I do salvation doesn't work. You need an it is finished kind of salvation. You need an it is done kind of religion. What you need this morning is to do exactly what that verse says. Come to Jesus Christ. He will give you rest. You don't have to labor anymore trying to get right with God. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do something to get it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says, Jesus simply promises, you come to me, I'll give you rest. You come to me, I'll lift that burden of sin off of you. You come to me, you can cease your labor. And there's scores in this room this morning that have done that. And again, if I gave them the opportunity, they would stand and testify. When Jesus says he will, he does. He does. I carried a burden of sin. It got bigger and bigger. When I was a teenager, I did everything I thought of that would take care of it. I tried to obey mom and dad. I went to church every time the door was open, and nothing worked. One day somebody told me that Jesus loved me. One day somebody told me that he died to pay for my sins. One day somebody read this verse to me and said, if you come to him, he'll lift the burden. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to labor for it. He'll save you. I came. And that's exactly what he did. He took my sin, washed it all away, buried it in the deepest part of the sea, put it behind his back, and he'll do the same thing for you. I will give you rest. The second I will goes right along with the first one. And when you add it to the first one, it makes the two of them together even sweeter than when you look at them by yourself. The second I will comes from John chapter 6, verse 37, where the Bible says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, Jesus doesn't pick and choose. He doesn't say, I'll take you and take you and take you, but I've excluded you, you, and you. The Bible says, hey, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. And then Jesus says, if you come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will take you. There will be no rejections. There will be no one that is turned away. And you might say this morning, hey, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what kind of sinner I am. You don't know the sins that I've committed. I would not want anybody to know what I've done against God. And I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. I don't know what kind of sinner you are, but I know what kind of Savior that we have. I know his blood covers every sin. And that promise that's in the book of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Our sins may be black. They may be red like scarlet. But if we come to him, he will make them white as snow. White as wool. There's not one person that Jesus will reject. He'll take you in your sin. I'm glad he didn't say, hey, clean up your act and then I'll take you. I'm glad he didn't say, hey, when you get better, I'll take you. The Bible says he commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he will take you this morning. And I know some people say, well, that sounds really good, preacher, but I don't deserve it. Hey, I've never met one person that did. Me included. Never. ever have I met a person that has deserved the love of Jesus Christ. When I think about it, I'm like David in our Sunday school lesson this morning. It just overwhelms me. I just stagger under the weight of the thought that when I was a sinner, the Son of God gave His life to pay for mine. Gave His life to pay for my sins. And it doesn't matter what the condition of your soul is this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, He said, if you come to Me, I will give you rest. And He said, if you come, I will in no wise cast you out. You come, I'll take you. And I'll give you that rest that I promised that I would give you. The third I will comes from Luke chapter 5. It comes in the middle of a story where a leper approached Jesus. Leprosy back in Jesus' day was a terminal disease. There was no cure for it unless a miracle was worked by God. There was no doctor that could cure it. There was no medicine that could be applied. Leprosy was a disease that ate away at your body. It caused you to have open sores that ran with pus and blood. The tips of your fingers and your ears and your nose and your toes, the leprosy ate them away. And so people walked around with bandages around their extremities, bandages around the sores on their arm. And there was no hope for a leper. He had to live apart from everybody else. When he was walking down a road and somebody approached him, if they were on the same side of the road, the leper had to cross to the other side. He had to put a rag over his mouth. He had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," so that nobody would come around him. One day a leper came to Jesus and he said this, "Lord, if Thou will, You can make me clean. If You want to, You can cure me of this leprosy. No doctor can do it. No medicine can do it. But Lord, I know if You want to do it, if You would, You can make me clean." And Jesus says, "I will. Be thou clean." And the Bible says, and immediately, the leprosy departed from him. All his fingers were back. All his toes were back. His nose, his ears, all the sores on his arms. In a moment, in an instant, they were healed. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus hasn't changed. What He did for the leper, He will do for each of us. He'll take our sin-wrecked life and clean it up. He'll take us that are under the condemnation of death and give us life. He'll take us that are unusable and use us in His kingdom. So He says, "You come, I'll give you rest. You come, I won't turn anybody away. You come, and I'll clean you up." And then there's a fourth "I will." And when you add it to the first three, it just makes all four of them sweet. In fact, I'll just tell you before I start, I can't do it justice. When I think about what this "I will" says, I just want to take my shoes off because I'm walking on holy ground when I talk about this one. It comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, where the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess Me before men, him will I confess also before My Father, which is in heaven." I want to show you how this works. Brother Harry, would you come up here for a second and help me? You just come up here just for a second and sit in this chair. Sit right there. Brother Chad, will you come up for a second and help me? Here's what it means. We're going to let Harry be God the Father this morning. Don't let it go to your head. We're going to let Chad represent the sinner. He represents all of us. Chad's under the condemnation of sin. He's not a bad guy, but he's a sinner. You see, it doesn't take many sins to make a sinner. Bible says if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. Bible says honor your father and mother. And so if you've ever disobeyed your parents, you're a sinner. Bible says don't bear false witness. If you've told a lie, even a little one by man's standard, makes you a sinner. The Bible, that's why the Bible can say, We're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Chad's a sinner. One day, Chad hears about Jesus. One day, somebody helps Chad understand that he's a sinner. One day, Chad hears the verse in the Bible that says, the wages of sin is death. Not physical death, as we have experienced in our church the last couple of weeks. We've had a lot of folks that have gone to meet their Savior. And we've lost them, and we're going to miss them. But that's not the kind of death I'm talking about. The wages of sin is death means that the sinner is separated from God. You see, God wants each of us to have a relationship with Him. God wants each of us to fellowship with Him. That's why He made us. But when we allow sin to come in our life, when we make that decision to do what we know not to do, or that decision not to do what we know to do, we become a sinner. And that sin separates us from God. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the Bible also says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Chad's a sinner. Somebody tells him about Jesus. Somebody tells him that Jesus loves him so much that he died on the cross. And as he was dying on the cross, God took all of Chad's sins and put them on the Savior. And Jesus died for every sin that Chad committed. And Chad decides, if he loved me that much, I'm going to take him for my own. And he prays the sinner's prayer. He says, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, please save me. And then Chad tells his dad. Tell your dad when you got saved?
Yes.
Sure you did. Did you tell your mom?
Yeah.
You tell your brother?
Yes.
You tell your sister?
Yeah.
Okay. He confesses Christ before men. He walks the aisle of a church and tells the church, I've asked Jesus to be my Savior. In just a second, Chad's going to get in the baptistry and follow Jesus' example and be baptized in that way, confessing to us that he has asked Jesus to be his Savior. He's confessing before men his Savior. You know what Jesus does? You know what Jesus does? You see, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father up in heaven. And when Chad confesses him before men, Jesus stands up and says, Dad, I want to introduce you to somebody. I want to introduce you to somebody that's come into the family. I want to introduce you to Chad Carlson. Chad asked me to be his Savior. He's confessed me before men. He walked the aisle. He told people that he was saved. He got baptized in that way, telling people that he was saved. You know what God does? You know what God does? He says, hey, get me the book. Bring me the book of life. And I don't know if Jesus goes gets it or one of the angels goes gets it, brings it to God the Father. He opens it up to the seas. He writes under the seas, Chad Carlson. You see, when we confess him before men, he confesses us before the Father.
Amen.
He says, you come. You come. I'll give you rest. You come. I will in no wise refuse anybody. I'll in no wise cast anybody out. You come, and I'll make you clean. And you confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Have you done that this morning? Have you come? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Look, he wants you to be part of the family. He paid the price so that you could be made right with God, so you could be part of this family. But you got to come. He doesn't force it on us. We're not robots. We have to come. And if we come, he'll do exactly for us what he did for Chad and what he did for Brother Harry and what he did for me and what he'd done for scores of people in this room. He'll save you. He'll clean you up. And if we confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for each one that's here. And I pray for those that are here that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior, that, Father, right now they would understand they're a sinner. They would understand there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from you. And Father, they would just simply come. They would come to the one who promises to give them rest. They come to the one that promises them you can cease all your labor. They would come to the one that would take them and to clean them. And as we confess before men, confess us before the Father. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every person who's never made that decision. Help them to see that they need to make it. They need to come. And they need to do it now. I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation. Draw, Holy Spirit, please draw people to the Savior this morning. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.